Welcome to Van Christo Radio Theater.
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Gangbusters!
Butcher bandits, who netted a quarter of a million in hot dollars until persistent detectives matched a cream-colored sedan with a snapshot taken on a bathing beach.
Stay tuned to tonight's episode on Van Christo Radio Theater for some extra special surprises. And now, enjoy Gangbusters.
And now to Gangbusters and facts that show the operation of our law enforcement officials in their war against the underworld. Gangbusters has a special narrator for tonight's case, former heavyweight champion of the world, Jim Braddock.
The inside facts in the case of the Jersey Butcher Bandits.
You know, Mr. Braddock, Gangbusters listeners usually expect to hear our case histories narrated by police officials.
I know it, Don Gardner, and the name is Jim. The two detectives who worked on it are close friends of mine. One of them was my sparring partner. I saw them work for 48 hours without sleep and for weeks without taking a day off. So I called you up. I thought that I, as a citizen, should come and tell other citizens what our police are doing to protect us.
Well, when you got in touch with us, Jim, we thought it would be a splendid idea. So why don't you go right ahead?
All right, Don. Suppose we begin one day last summer. Several longshoremen were stretched out in the shade of large packing cases on the dock in Hoboken, New Jersey. They had finished their lunch and were waiting for the whistle before they went back loading the freighter that was tied up alongside. The conversation actually had turned to a subject on which they were all experts.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that's what he did it in.
Ha! 141 and 3/5. You're talking through your head, Sud. You don't know a thing about it.
Who don't know a thing about what? Where do you get off at being such a man with the figures?
I'm telling you, no horse ever ran a mile a 16th in that time unless it was downhill and a truck was pulling him.
Oh, you don't think so, huh? How about that, Phil? He says I'm a liar, practically.
Be a liar. Who cares?
I care, that's all. No horse ever ran it in 141 and 3/5.
Okay, Suds, you got your opinion. How'd you like to back it up with a little cash?
Sure, I like to back it up with a little cash. And you can look it up in any record book you got.
You're wrong. For how much?
You name it. Anything up to $5.
Okay, that's enough talk about horses.
You mean $500?
What do you think I mean? Cigar coupon?
All right, there's the whistle.
Talk about it later. Let's get back to work. Oh, my back. Why do we always get tracked?
$500. He never saw $500.
Didn't I? I'll show you what.
Duds.
Never saw $5.
If that whistle hadn't have blown, Suds, it'd have kicked you right in the face.
Oh, for crying out loud, Phil. What did I do?
$500. What do you think we're working this dock wallop was for, to show how much money we got? Now get to work.
Okay, okay.
I'll see you after the shift. We'll pick up Whitey and go over the deal for tonight.
Hello?
Detective Sullivan?
Yes?
Mike Hoser. Sorry if I woke you, Pat, but those boys have been at it again.
Another butcher?
Yep. They broke in the house. Took $4,000 the guy had in his desk.
Huh. The butchers don't stop keeping so much cash around the house, they'll all be broke.
Well, there might be an angle in this one.
Yeah?
We got hold of a fellow who lives down the street from the butcher. He saw a car around earlier that looked suspicious.
Oh, what kind of a car?
A cream-colored job, a sedan. A late model, New Jersey license.
Oh.
He got the last two numbers, 9-1, but that's all he could make out.
Well, it's better than nothing. I'll get dressed and come on down, Hoser. Where are you?
Chief of Reggio's office.
Okay, you wait there for me. I'll see you in 20 minutes.
What a racket, what a racket. Butchers. Ha!
Just look where you're driving, Suds. We know it's good.
How about it, Whitey? Did you ever see anything so soft? It's like standing out in the rain with a bucket. You can't help catching something.
Suds, you put it quaintly.
Listen to him, Phil. I put it quaintly. What was so quaint about that $4,000 tonight?
All right, stop jabbering about it, will you?
What do you say we all go out and celebrate?
You two go ahead. Just drop me there at the next corner.
What's the matter, Whitey?
Nothing's the matter. I've got a date. Yeah? With who? Oh, you don't know her, Phil.
And I bet you don't want her. Did you ever meet one of them tomatoes he runs with?
What do you say we come with you, Whitey? I'll buy you a drink.
Some other time. You don't mind, Phil. Not tonight.
No, not tonight, Phil. He's all engaged. Stop.
What are you looking for, Suds?
Me? You want an idol?
Just stop the car and let me out.
Stop it, Suds.
Okay.
You be in touch with me, Phil?
I'll be in touch with you.
Good night. Thanks.
So long, Whitey.
What's he thanking you for?
How should I know? Get going.
Okay, okay.
Take it easy, Will. You want to buy me a new clutch?
Oh, look, Phil. Don't get sore at me just because Whitey ain't sociable. The guy's going to be a bailer. He ought to act like one. Not like somebody from a dancing school.
All right, that's enough.
Yeah, well, what's he doing while we're breaking our back stock walloping? He don't like to talk to us. I like to know what he tells those fancy dames of his.
So just remember one thing. Without Whitey, we're not in business. No Whitey, no butchers. No butchers, no dough.
Well, we can dig up some other guy. There's a million guys that can get information like that.
Look, Suds, I'll take care of the personnel problems around here. You just drive. I want to get to bed.
Hello, Chief Recchio.
Hello, Chief.
See, Sullivan.
Thanks, Chief.
Well done.
Thanks, Chief.
All right, now, what's this idea?
Well, we thought, Chief... you tell him, Frank.
Okay. Chief, we know the last two numbers of the car. We know it was a cream-colored job, probably a Dodge. Now, we want to go through all the Jersey registrations and see if we can't locate a car that fits that description with the last two numbers, 9-1.
Well, you know there's over a million cars registered in the state.
We know it, Chief.
And that car might not even have been involved in the burglary last night.
So you don't think it's such a good idea, then?
Oh, just a minute, Sergeant. Who said it wasn't a good idea? These men have burglarized the homes and held up the shops of a dozen butchers. Their take has run to nearly $250,000. If there's any chance at all of getting them, I'm for it.
Okay, Chief. We'll get busy on the registrations right away.
Just a minute. Huh? Let me call Trenton. I think their card sorting machines can save you a little work checking through those registration lists.
Coming.
Hello, Kay, honey.
Whitey. Oh, Whitey, let's never fight again.
I wasn't looking for a fight, honey. I was in a bad mood last night, and I'm sorry.
But you said you'd be here at 10 o'clock. It was nearly 1 this morning before you came.
Kay, I had business. I should have phoned. I didn't. I'm sorry. Here's something for you.
Flowers.
Yeah.
Oh, Whitey. I love you so.
Have you... You got a drink around here anyplace?
Oh, sure. Whitey, let's get married. Let's get married right away.
I'd love to, honey. More than anything in the world.
Then why don't we?
Well...
Well, what?
I don't know. I can't, that's all.
I know you do all right in business. You always got plenty of money.
Well, money's got nothing to do with it.
Then what is?
I've got to make up my mind about something.
About what?
Look, Kay, get me that drink. I've got to go.
Go? Where?
Business. I've got to go out on business.
Whitey, if we're going to keep on, this has got to stop. I can't wait here night after night wondering whether you're going to show up or not. I can't sit around worrying about
you. Okay, don't worry about me. Don't even think about me. Don't... Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
You're always sorry, Whitey.
Yeah, I know it. Goodbye, Kay. I'll phone you.
What about that drink?
Forget it. I'm late now. So long.
Sergeant Hoser speaking.
Hello, Hoser. Pat Sullivan.
Well, how are you making out down in Trenton?
Okay. I think I've got something we can go on.
I hope you have. They got another butcher last night.
I was afraid of that.
The guy in Cliffside Park. They took over $12,000 from him. He was hiding it in a bookcase.
Well...
What did you find out?
There's half a dozen or so cars that fit the description, but one looks really interesting.
Yeah?
Did you ever handle a guy named DeFelice? Philip DeFelice?
I sure did. I sent him up about 5 years ago.
Well, he owns a brand-new cream-colored Dodge sedan. License number HO691.
Well, that looks like the ticket, doesn't it?
You said it, Hoser. It really looks like the ticket. Look, I'm leaving Trenton in an hour. As soon as I get back, let's make arrangements to grab this DeFelice with the goods.
So, Don, Sergeant Hose and Detective Sullivan had their first lead to the criminals they sought. But they learned that weeks of patient waiting were ahead before they could make their move.
We'll return to tonight's episode of Gangbusters on Van Cristo Radio Theater in just a few moments. In the just-completed 10th Annual Francis W. Hatch Awards competition, sponsored by the Advertising Club of Greater Boston, Van Cristo Associates won first prize for excellence in radio advertising. This highly coveted award was given to Van Cristo for the agency's radio commercials for the books The Military Industrial Complex and The Same Sex, published by Pilgrim Press. We're sure the many listeners of Van Cristo Radio Theater would like to hear these prize-winning commercials. Tonight we'll play for you The Military Industrial Complex.
Now let's hear it for America, folks. A little hand for the military here with the slickest war machine on earth. We spend $80 billion a year on this production, friends, but just think of the fun we're having. Ain't that right, General? General George here. Attaway, Georgie. Come on up here. He's retiring next year. Already got himself a nice job with one of our defense contractors. Just a little reward for a few little favors. What's that? Man in the third row thinks it stinks? Well, grow up, mister. Funny thing happened on the way to Vietnam.
I want to read a book that'll make you cringe. Read The Military Industrial Complex by Sidney Lenz, a Pilgrim Press edition, now playing at your local bookstore.
The commercial you've just heard was one of two which won for Van Cristo Associates first prize in the 10th Annual Hatch Awards competition for excellence in radio advertising, sponsored by the Advertising Club of Greater Boston.
Now back to Gangbusters and the former heavyweight champion of the world, Jim Braddock. Now, you were telling us, Jim, that Detective Sullivan and Sergeant Hoser had used a slim clue to trace an automobile observed near the scene of one of a dozen burglaries that had plagued northern New Jersey.
That's right, Don. One night, the police and a criminal known as Suds were in a Hoboken bar, unaware that the two detectives were seated a few tables away.
Where is he? He's been sitting around this joint all night. Not that I mind.
Well, if you don't mind, Suds, shut up about it.
Look, Phil, why do we have to keep worrying out about Whitey for? Let's forget about the guy and do this on our own.
Get some sense, will you?
Now, there's guys with dough besides butchers.
I'll take the butchers, and so will you. They're in the kind of business where they can lay away a lot of cash, and they're doing it.
Okay, but Whitey ain't the only guy that can get information. I know a guy in Bayonne.
I know 40 guys in Bayonne, but there isn't one that's got Whitey's touch. We need him. So lay off, will you?
I'm sick of that guy. Moping around all the time about a dame. One dame. How about that?
All right, here he comes. Keep quiet.
Quiet. Like the quiet I'm over the edges once.
Hello, Phil. Suds. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Time don't mean nothing to us.
Sit down, Whitey.
Thanks.
What do you want to drink? An orange blossom?
Listen, you have had enough of your wisecracks.
Yeah, college boy. Well, who
all
do you
right.
think?
Cut it out. Now, listen to me. I'll tell you how we work the deal tonight.
Before you do, Phil, I've got something to say.
Well, get it off your chest. We got business.
What is it, Whitey?
I've been doing a lot of thinking the last couple of days, Phil.
So?
Tonight's my last job. I'm quitting.
You what?
I'm through. I'm quitting.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Suds. And, why are you quitting?
I want to get married.
Well, get married. Who cares if you're married? You gave us another couple of months' work, Whitey. And I want you along.
I'm through, Phil. After tonight.
Well, let's buy a drink and celebrate.
Suds, wait for us in the car.
But, Phil,
I... Wait for us in the car.
Okay. See you outside, but make it snappy.
Who's the girl, Whitey? That Kay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice dish. You wouldn't like her to find out what you do for a living, would you?
You crack a word to her, Phil, and I'll kill you, I swear.
Don't make me laugh, Whitey. You're not the killing kind. You got more sense. We made $250,000, Whitey. This is a big-time operation. Clean and safe. I want to keep it up. Remember that. Let's go.
Tonight's the last one, Phil.
Is it? We'll see. Hey, wait a minute.
What?
There's an old friend of mine.
So what?
Wait here a minute. I want to say hello to this guy.
Okay, but make it snappy.
Well, Sergeant Hoser. How are you?
Hello, Phil. What are you doing these days?
Oh, I'm a reformed character, Sergeant. You taught me a lesson. I'm working hard in the docks.
Glad to hear it.
I just thought I'd drop over and say hello. So long.
So long.
Got to get up early for work tomorrow.
See that, Sullivan?
Yeah, that guy sure got a lot of nerve. I'd say he's pretty sure of himself.
You don't think he's wise that we've been on his tail?
No, I don't think so. But we'd better stay away from him tonight.
Yeah. Okay. That blonde fella he was with, he's been around enough to be the third man in the deal.
Maybe. If we can get a chance to make a picture of him, maybe we can find out who he is.
Well, if I see any chance to get that picture, I'll let you know. Come on. Let's call it a night.
Yeah. Waiter. Waiter.
I don't know, Chief. I'd lay my bottom dollar it was them. They were in the neighborhood.
Well, maybe, Sullivan, but there's nobody that can identify them. Have you got anything more on the other two?
Well, this one they call Suds. His real name is Carlo Rinzuelo. Tenorette.
Oh,
robbery.
Excuse me, Sergeant.
Yeah, sure.
Chief Araki, you're talking.
Hello, Chief. Sergeant Hoser.
Yeah, Sergeant?
Is Sullivan around there?
Yeah, sitting right here. Hmm? Just a minute. Sergeant Hoser back.
Oh, thanks. Hello, Hoser. What's up?
They're all at the Palisades Park swimming pool.
All three of them?
Yep. The third boy's with a girl, a good-looking number. DeFelice and Suds got here a little while later. Looks like they're keeping an eye on the third one.
No kidding. Say, look, this may be our chance to get those pictures.
Yeah, Pat, it might be.
But... look, I've got an idea, Hoser. I'll go by the house and pick up my little girl. We'll be there in less than an hour.
I told you, Kay, I'm getting things worked out. Maybe in another week or so.
I don't understand you, Whitey. You're talking such riddles.
There won't be any more riddles, baby. Everything's going to be on the square. Someday I'll tell you the whole story. Someday, maybe years from now.
All right, Whitey. Someday.
Hello, Whitey. I should tell a guy you were going swimming.
Oh, too. Such.
How you doing, Whitey? Don't answer me. I see you're doing okay.
Whitey,
It's all right, honey.
You don't mind if we sit down, do you, Whitey?
Why should he mind? It's a public swimming pool.
A little too public.
Whitey's told me a lot about you, honey.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I hear you kids are getting married. Very interesting.
Kay, you've been sitting in the sun too long. Why don't you take a dip?
But Whitey,
sounds good for a Whitey.
Yeah, great. Makes it tan.
Go ahead, Kay.
All right, Whitey.
Get cooled off.
I'll be back in a minute.
Whitey.
Yeah?
What's going to cool me off?
Why don't you take a dip?
Listen, wise guy, no cracks.
Okay, son.
You know, Whitey, maybe you'll be a happy guy married. Maybe you won't.
What do you mean?
I mean, maybe you won't get married at all.
No?
Maybe I ought to do this Kay a favor. Maybe it's the right thing to let her know what kind of a guy she's getting.
You try it, Phil, Whitey. Okay, let's go.
We got a job Sunday, Whitey. I want a lot of jobs after that. You're coming with us?
Hold on, though.
That's fine, Eileen. Now smile.
Smile.
Oh, kid. Smile,
be
honey.
Quiet, will you?
That's it. And now we'll make sure. Let me try another one.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Son.
That's it, honey. Hold it. There.
I hope the pictures are good,
Daddy. I think there will be. You're fine, Mom.
Now remember, Whitey, you keep working or the dame gets an earful.
Okay, Phil. If you say so, I guess I keep working.
I guess you do. And keep that head on your shoulders. We got a big one Sunday. Come on, Phil.
Yeah, all right with
you. I have told us, Jim, that Detective Sullivan and Hoser make some interesting pictures at a swimming pool.
Yes, Don. And as soon as they were developed, several victims identified Whitey as the salesman who came to call on them. But meanwhile, other important events were taking place.
Hello?
Hello, honey.
Whitey.
Get your things packed, Kay. We're leaving tonight.
Leaving? For where?
I don't know. Any place we can get married.
Oh, Whitey.
I'll be by around 7, honey. Be ready.
Well, I don't know what to pack if I don't know where we're going.
Pack everything. We'll be gone a long time. Maybe for good.
All right, Sud, stop here.
Right.
All set, Whitey?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
What do you mean, you guess so?
I hope nobody's home.
There's nobody home. I saw him go out myself. Come on, Whitey. Well, are you coming?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm coming.
Park it around the corner, Sud.
Okay, so.
And walk up to the house and knock. I'll let you in. All right, let's get inside, Whitey. About $6,000 in that house someplace. Take the side door, huh, Whitey?
Yeah. Yeah, the side door should be easiest.
Chief. What's up, Jose?
Sullivan just called. He followed the three of them to a house on Bergen Boulevard. He watched them break in.
They still inside?
Yes, Chief. He wants us to hurry right over.
Your car downstairs?
Yes, sir. It's all ready.
Well, let's go.
Whitey.
What?
When you stop daydreaming and help Suds look around for that dough, how long do you think we can stay in here?
Okay, take it easy. How about the china closet, Suds?
I looked in there. See if there's any packages pinned up in the back of those drapes.
Well, go on and look, will you?
Okay, Hey.
Get away from that window.
Phil.
What?
The cops. 1,000 of them.
You kid, get down. All right, both of you, crawl over here.
What are we going to do, Phil? How are we going to get out?
Shut up, will you? Stick on the floor and keep quiet.
The three of you, come out. Come out with your hands up. The place is surrounded.
Come on, let's get out.
Keep your head down.
Come out in 10 seconds, or we'll fire.
We'll go upstairs. We'll hold them off from there.
We haven't got a chance.
What are you, yeller?
Yeah, what if I am? I'm no dope.
Why, you're the... Get down.
Machine guns. Who counted on machine guns?
Shut up.
Come on, Phil, let's give up.
We're going upstairs. We're going to hold them from there.
Come out. Come out now.
Don't shoot.
Whitey,
don't shoot. I give up.
Whitey, wait for me.
Whitey, Sutch, come back here.
Don't shoot. We give up.
Oh, there. Walk down here with your hands up.
Okay, we're coming. We're coming.
That's far enough, Whitey. Where's the police?
He's upstairs. I think he went upstairs.
Oh, my Lord. What a mess.
You could have thought about that some time ago.
Come on, Jose.
Right.
He's got a gun.
All right, men.
Hold it.
Yeah. Pick the door open.
Yeah.
There he goes. Upstairs.
Come on, Sullivan. You went to that first room.
Watch it, Jose. He'll shoot if he can.
Don't worry. Okay. Come on out of there, Phil. Come on out.
Let's go in and get him.
Right.
Push the door open and jump back.
Come on out, Phil.
Let's get him.
Under the bed.
Come on out.
Okay, I'm coming. Take it easy.
First, slide that gun out.
Here it comes.
Now, you crawl out.
All right. Take it easy now, will you? Just take it
up
easy.
On your feet. Up on your feet.
All right.
We waited a long time for this, mister. Just walk. We're right behind you. And this time, we know where you're going.
So, Don, that was how Detective Pat Sullivan and Sergeant Hoser wrote a successful end to the case on which they spent weeks and weeks of hard work. The criminals were all convicted and received long sentences.
And we'll meet one of the detectives on Gangbusters in just a few moments. We want to remind you to stay tuned for a new contest on Van Cristo Radio Theater tonight. Reading history is intriguing, but hearing, little can compare with that experience. For example, we all hear about the Depression days, especially recently when there's been a lot of comment about it. Many of you lived through those days. But the hard times were made more bearable by radio and stars like this fellow.
Somebody come along with a plan to plow under part of the cotton. And we did, and other nations like Brazil found out where we plowed it under, and they come and dug it up, and now they've got more cotton than we have. Somebody had a plan to teach hogs birth control, and now it's a habit with them. Somebody had a plan to plow under every third acre of wheat, and the wind come along and blew out the other 2 acres. It was all a fine plan, a fine plan, well carried out. We wanted to raise commodity prices, and now we find there's more people eating than there is raising. And if you get things too high, the guys that eat is going to come and hollering, you know? So plans just don't work. If they're milk and honey to you, they're poison ivy to somebody else, you know? But even if your plan don't work, it ain't any discredit, you know. Our own savior had a plan. In fact, 10 of them. He left them to us, and he knew they'd help us. And we know they'll help us. And he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. But I bet there ain't two people in your block that's speaking to each other.
Will Rogers, one of radio's immortals. You can enjoy Again and Again in your home whenever you choose. Van Christo has just obtained an exciting new album featuring some of old-time radio's most famous stars, Will Rogers, Rudy Valley, Al Jolson, W.C. Fields, a living history of some of radio's greatest moments. You can own this recording for $4.95 in check or money order to Old-Time Radio, Van Christo Radio Theater, 18 Newbury Street, Boston, 02116. And remember, when you purchase one of these recordings, you not only buy special listening pleasure for yourself, but also help ensure your continued Sunday night enjoyment of the Van Christo Radio Theater. So order your record tonight, $4.95 in check or money order to Old Time Radio, Van Christo Radio Theater, 18 Newbury Street, Boston, 02116. We promised you a special announcement. And regarding the Radio Buff contest, last week's winner was Mrs. B. Berkowitz of Ridge Avenue in Newton Center, who will soon be receiving her copy of Orson Welles' famous production of The War of the Worlds. Starting with this week's program, we're simply going to ask you to send to us a card with your name and address, and the winner will be drawn from all entries received. So you have a chance to win your copy of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, one of the great radio productions of all time. Just send your card with your name and address to Van Christo Radio Theater, 18 Newbury Street, Boston, 02116, and the winner will be drawn from all entries received. Now, once again, here is Don Gardner for Gangbusters.
Well, Jim, those officers deserve all the credit in the world for a really fine job.
They certainly do, and I'd like you to meet one of them right now in person. Detective Pat Sullivan, meet Don Gardner.
How do you do, Detective Sullivan?
Hello, Don.
We're certainly glad to have you on Gangbusters.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, one thing puzzles me, Detective Sullivan. These butcher bandits, during their criminal careers, got away with about $250,000, and none of this money was recovered. Can you explain this?
I think so, Don. You see, as the investigation went on, we learned that one of the criminals had bought 2 racehorses. One was named Caffeine, and the other Sweet Barbara. But neither of these nags ever crossed under the wire as a winner, even though the gang kept up a blind confidence.
And that's where all the money went?
Most of it, we think. The rest was used to keep them in their short-lived high style.
Well, thank you, Detective Pat Sullivan, for coming here tonight and being our guest on Gangbusters. And also to you, former heavyweight champion Jim Braddock.
It was a pleasure, Don. The only thing I didn't like about it was not being able to sit in my chair at home and listen to Gangbusters.
Well, Jim Braddock and all of you listening will be able to do just that again next Sunday evening at 8 o'clock when Gangbusters returns on the Van Christo Radio Theater.